Chapter 15, Section 1, The Generalized Scenario. You are the founder, CEO of a company that produces a product. You've developed a successful business. You are proud of what you have accomplished and the team you have built. In one variant, your product, point A1, is being substituted by another product, A1 to A2, for example BlackBerry versus Android. In the other variant, your product is being substituted by a utility, A1 to A3, for example traditional hosting versus cloud computing. I've drawn these variants on a single map in Figure 188. See Figure 188, a changing space, for more details. In any business relationship, there are more than just products involved. There is the practice of how the product is used, data about the product, data consumed by the product, and even knowledge about the construction of the product. I've marked examples of this onto Figure 189 for our product. How do I know I've put the dots in the right place? I don't. Maps can be tools for explaining general concepts, and in this case, I will just assume that the practice around how to use our product is well developed along with the data that underpins it. See Figure 189, Adding Practice and Data, for more details. Now, let us consider the first variant where our product is undergoing substitution from A1 to A2. We are RIM, our flagship BlackBerry product is under assault from a range of new Android phones that have appeared on the market. With such substitutions, then the existing data, practice and knowledge of the market tends to be maintained, i.e. an Android phone might substitute the BlackBerry, but the practice of using smartphones, the data around the market and even knowledge about construction and use will tend to incrementally improve rather than be substituted itself. I've marked this change onto Figure 190. See Figure 190, a substituting product, for more details. Unsurprisingly, we are going to have inertia to this change. A significant source of this will be our own past success, often represented by our own sales data, our own marketing collateral, and our own reward systems. These systems will encourage us to believe that the change won't happen, and with good reason. Such product-to-product substitutions are highly unpredictable. Whilst it is easy to look back in hindsight and describe the success of the iPhone, there was no guarantee that the iPhone would succeed or disrupt the existing market. In fact, the guru of disruption Clayton Christensen stated that the iPhone would fail. But, let us assume we've often experienced such substitutions and we suspect this is happening now to our product. We might have inertia, but we understand its source and how to overcome it. For consumers of our product, there will also be some inertia to the change, but as long as the practice remains equivalent, then this is often mild. Changing a type of phone used within a company, i.e. from BlackBerry to Android, is a far easier problem than introducing the concept of a mobile phone for the first time. The latter requires a fundamental shift in any established practices of communication, the former is simply a refinement. I've marked the main source of inertia onto our map in Figure 191. See Figure 191, Inertia to Change, for more details. As the CEO of a company facing a potential substitution, then my understanding of this change provides me with options. The most common of which is known as Charles Handy's second curve, or in other words, the exploitation of an existing position in order to create a future position. This second curve works because substitution doesn't happen overnight. We don't wake up one morning and discover that the entire world has changed. There is still value to be extracted from the legacy position before any crisis point is reached. I can use this time and any revenue created from the legacy to invest in and leapfrog our competitors by building a better or adjacent product that exploits the change in the market. I could even employ a more radical shift or some combination of any of the above with concepts of differentiation. Since the practice around the activity is unlikely to change, then I also have the skills, experience, knowledge, brand, another form of capital, process and data within my company to play this game. I might not, however, have the culture, and there is still any internal inertia to overcome, so it's not a trivial problem. As a founder CEO, my tendency will often be towards the fight. Words such as "I've built this company," "I want to succeed," and "I want to create a glorious future for my people" are not uncommon. In this context, then, I can create a vision that builds upon our past practice and experience. I can sell a purpose of creating a new future and explain why we need to make this change. There's never any guarantee to success, but as long as I've seen the change and react quickly enough, then I can often overcome it. This does require a strong will, fast action, and a willingness to gamble, because product substitutions are unpredictable and you can't plan for this uncertain change in advance. I've given an idealized example of this in figure 192 using the concept of leapfrogging a competitor. See figure 192, leapfrogging a competitor, for more details. Let us now change our role into that of a hedge fund manager. In this case, I'm left with a bit of quandary. We've seen the appearance of a product that might substitute the companies, but there is no guarantee that it will. This means that I don't know which company to invest in for the future. It's a gamble. Also, if the CEO of the company being substituted is switched on, then they might play a comeback with a second curve and a new product. Apple is one of those companies that has successfully played a second curve several times, bringing us new products from the iPod to the iPhone to the iPad. A lot depends upon my confidence with the CEO and whether they have done this before. My tendency would be to hedge my bets here and closely monitor. Here we have two distinct roles, that of CEO, and the options you might play, and that of the hedge fund manager. However, the desire of the founder CEO to create a future for their company can be easily aligned with the desires of the hedge fund manager. There might be tension, but there's no real conflict between the roles. Whether the two views are aligned is often more a question of confidence and whether the right culture exists.